Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The Bible is not a book of passivity, but rather a book of war, a book of struggle, a book of overcoming, a book of aggression. Church is not supposed to be sarah, sarah. Any of you will not remember that song. It was a great song way back many years ago. And it simply means whatever will be, will be. It's actually Italian and converted to Spanish. But it means whatever will be, will be. A lot of people have adopted that into their life and into their salvation. I hear about it all the time. Everything that happens is the will of God. That's absolutely a lie from the pit of hell. And you know, everything happens for a purpose. Again, that is a lie from the pit of hell, and if you believe that, it does serious injury to your faith. For if it is God's will, and if there's a purpose for it, how could you ever avoid it? How could you ever overcome it? This philosophy is crept into many people's theology. The truth is that our greatest emotion should be evoked in our faith in our God. Our greatest emotion. Our faith should explore and stretch the perimeters of our personality. For years, I've contended with people. They say, well, that's just not my personality, to be boisterous in church, to sing loud, to dance, to clap. That's just not my personality. But our faith should explore and stretch the perimeters of our personality. If there's anything in the world that can make you cry, you ought to cry about what Jesus Christ has done for you and the suffering on the cross. If there's anything that would make you shout, whether it's a Super Bowl win or whether it's winning the lottery or whether it's getting a promotion on your job, whether it's your mother going on to heaven prematurely, whatever it is that would excite you and cause you to shout, that is the perimeters of your personality. You ought to be able to express that toward the Lord. It's not biblical to be tepid in our faith. The truth is we must fight every day for our faith. We must contend for the faith constantly. The kingdom of God is taken by violent force, the scripture said. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Violent contention against the devil and all that is evil. We can get so excited and express such love and joy about our grandchildren. It's amazing how people love their grandchildren. It's just amazing. People talk to me more about their grandchildren than they do their children. What about your poor little children? Weren't they nice? Weren't they good? You never mention them. It's only about your grandchildren, I hear. But if you can have that kind of excitement about your grandchildren, you need to have that kind of excitement about the God of your salvation. And so we need to contend for the faith. And we need to contend with violence, with urgency. We need to become radical in our faith. Our faith should mean more to us than anything in the world. Above all, take the shield of faith. What you believe is important. What you believe will motivate your life. What you believe will define the perimeters of your life. And you should become violent in that faith and say, this means so much to me that I will not let anything injure my faith, steal my faith, in any way desecrate my faith, in any way limit my faith, diminish my faith. My faith is strong today. I received a call today from one of my friends in Houston, Texas. Early this morning, he was questioning me about something that he was wanting to use that I had said, and so he was trying to get me to define it a little bit. But we were talking about, I want to finish strong. And so I'm not going to let my faith be diminished by time. I'm not going to let my faith be diminished by age. I'm not going to let my faith be diminished by energy. My faith is stronger today. I have a Caleb spirit on me, and I am violent about my faith. The Bible uses a wonderful series of stories in the second chapter of Samuel, chapter 23. It's a story of David, when David was leading Israel. And they were surrounded by the Philistines, not only surrounded, but greatly outnumbered. to the place where the majority of the army of Israel was fearful. In fact, they turned their back on the enemy and left and went and hid themselves and cowered in fear. But there were three men that were the exception to that, and these were three men of violent faith. They said, "We're not giving in." I believe there's some people in this house today that have made up your mind that you're not giving in to the assault of the enemy or the assault of this world, that you've made up your mind that you and your household are going to be saved. And you're not only going to be saved, you're going to be saved big time. You're going to be saved with space to spare, praise God. You've made up your mind that you are going to contend for your faith until your husband, your wife, your spouse is saved, until your children are saved, until your grandchildren are saved. And so it takes violent faith to declare, "I will not let the devil steal what God said is mine." We need to become people of violent faith. And violent faith will produce violent action. The Bible said that faith without works is dead. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. If you have faith, and that faith is radical, and that faith is violent, you will stand out in the crowd as somebody that refuses to be quiet. You'll shout a little louder. You'll sing a little stronger. You'll clap a little longer. You'll stand up a little more. You'll come a little more often. You'll give a little more. You'll bring more people with you. Why? Because I've got violent faith, and I'm not compromising. I'm not giving in. I'm not allowing the devil to steal a few things. I'm not making any compromise with the devil. Pharaoh, when he was refusing to let God's people go, he finally tried to make compromise with Moses, and he said, "You can go, but you can't go very far." And Moses said, "I reject that compromise. We will go as far as we want to go." And so then Pharaoh said, "Well, you can go, but you can't take your spouse with you." And he said, "No, I'm taking my spouse with me." And he said, "Well, you can go, but you can't take your children with you." Ladies and gentlemen, God has come that we might be delivered from the hand of the enemy, and we will have no detente with the devil. Praise God. We're not only going to go, we're going to go a long ways. We're not only going to go, we're going to go with the gold and silver of Egypt. We're not only going to go ourselves, we're going to take our spouse. We're not only going to take our spouse, we're going to take our children and our grandchildren, because we are people of violent faith. We're contentious about our faith. We're not giving up our faith. We're not saying God doesn't do that anymore. There's a lot of people that claim they have faith, but they don't have the faith of the Bible. They simply said, "Well, God doesn't work miracles anymore. That was from a different time." Friend, there is no place in the Bible where God's goodness is in suspension, where God quit doing great things for his people. My God is a God of perpetuation. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God ever poured out blessings on Israel, he pours out his blessings on the New Testament church. If God ever healed people, he still heals people today. If God ever delivered people, he delivers people today. If God ever poured out financial blessing, he blesses people today. I refuse to give up any ground. Praise God. We might look like we are outnumbered, but I want to be like the three violent, faithful men in the second book of Samuel, chapter 23. When David looked around and his army had retreated, suddenly three men stood up and said, "David, everybody might be gone, but we're still here." It doesn't take many, just a few people to stand, because God tells us just two or three people and God are a majority. And so there is the story of a man by the name of Tachmonite. He was one of the three violent men for David. And he said, "David, I'm not going anywhere." And the Bible said this, that he lifted up his spear against the Philistines and slew 800 Philistines at one time. That was when he was standing nearly by himself and the rest of the army had retreated. Ladies and gentlemen, you might feel like you are alone, but you're not alone. You need to contend for your faith. It doesn't matter who has abandoned you. It doesn't matter who you've seen quit. It doesn't matter how many you know that have stopped. It doesn't matter how the numerics might seem to be opposed against you. If you will become violent in your faith, there is a God in heaven that will summon his strength and assign it to your aid. And suddenly the Tachmonite that was unknown until that moment becomes a hero of the Bible. There are people in this building that have stood the test of time, and you've got great faith. And God is saying, I want you to take your faith and take it up a notch and let your faith become violent, because I'm going to make a spiritual hero out of you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a time to compromise. It's not a time to slack. It's not a time to back up. But we were called to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You know, it'd be easy for me to come out here and preach my little sermon and then retire to the office and go to lunch early, but I don't do that. I'm going to be on that front seat every service listening to Pastor Brandon worshiping with you. I'm not going to give any ground up. I'm going to be everything I was and more. As I see the day approaching, I'm stirring up my faith. I'm stirring up my gift. I'm going to see God do more in the days ahead of me than I have the days behind me. The best days are coming. They're here now, and I'm celebrating the power of the living God. I believe that while I speak these words, I like what the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words. It wasn't at the conclusion. It wasn't in the vestibule after the service. It wasn't Monday morning on the telephone. It was while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. What I'm telling you is my faith is stirred up. My faith is violent, Sister Jean. And while I'm speaking these words, somebody can come out of their pew and say, Pastor, I'm sorry to interrupt that masterpiece of a sermon you were preaching, but God just healed my body. I felt the glow of God hit my top of my head and flow through my body to the very tips of my toe. I'm telling you that my God is a God of power, and my God is in this house. And no matter how many Israelites hide in fear, I'm going to be a Tachmonite. Praise God. I'm going to take the Spear of the Lord. What is the Spear of the Lord? The Spear of the Lord symbolizes the Holy Ghost. It was not done with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit. My violent faith contends. It contends for what? It contends for the Holy Ghost. I want the Spear of God in this church. I want the Holy Ghost in this church. I want to see the Spirit of God fall on people. I want people to come in this building unsaved and leave saved and redeemed. I want the power of God to fall until people can't quit worshiping the Lord, until people can't just sit there and look at me. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You've got to become violent in your faith. Sing like you've never sung, worship like you've never worshiped, pray like you've never prayed. Just let people know I'm on fire for God. It doesn't matter what's happening in the White House, the State House, or the schoolhouse. It doesn't matter what's happening in Hollywood or what's happening on New York. In New York, what's happening in my heart and what's happening in God's house is predestined by the absolute power of Almighty God, and I'm going to contend for that faith. God's kingdom is not getting smaller. It's not going into demise. God's kingdom is growing. God's kingdom is expanding. God's kingdom is going to become more powerful. God knows exactly what he's doing. He saw the end from the beginning. It's going to be a grand finale, and I intend to be right there on the front line. Oh, praise God. I'm a Tachmonite. I'm going to do things I've never done. What about everybody else that's quit? It doesn't matter about them. My God is alive, and he and I are in collusion against the devil, praise God. And the victory is mine. I've got my two grandkids saved. I got my two sons saved, but that's not enough. I want to get more people saved. I want to see revival sweep San Antonio. I want to see revival sweep Living Way. I want to see revival come to America. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed. I'm going to contend like I've never contended. I'm going to worship like I've never worshiped. I am going to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of the living God. Tachmonite was just one of the three. There was another man by the name of Eleazar. And all of these people have left, but Eleazar said, David, you can count on me. He took the sword that he had in his hand, and he began to fight. And he fought, and he fought, and he fought. What does the sword represent? The sword represents the Word of God. The Bible said the sword is the Word of God in Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. I've seen people compromise the Word of God in their pulpit because they want money, they want prestige, they want crowds, they want numbers. But ladies and gentlemen, I am convinced the way you have crowds, the way you're blessed, is not to compromise but contend for the faith. God is going to send a revival to those people that contend for the faith. I'm going to declare the whole counsel of God. God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so the Bible said Eliezer, he just kept fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And finally the Bible said he got to a place where the sword could not be pried out of his hand. And he defeated a great number of Israel. And the Bible said it this way, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The Lord brought a great victory for Israel, even though the army had cowered in fear. These three men brought a great victory for Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about masses. We're talking about you and me. We're talking about the people in this church. If we will contend for the faith, if we will pray and pray through, if we will worship and worship until heaven comes down, we can make a difference in our life. We can make a difference in our family. We can make a difference in our world. How many people are on board and say, I'm going to contend for the faith? I'm not giving up. If God's word said it, I am going to declare the promise of God, or yea and amen. If God's word said it, I can have it. It's God's word said I can be saved, I'm saved. If God's word said I can be free, I'm free. If God's word said I can be delivered, I'm delivered. If God's word said I can be healed, I'm healed. If God's word said I can prosper, I'm prospering. I'm contending for the word. I'm like Eliezer. I simply will not give up because I've got violent faith. My faith says there are things going to happen that I've never seen. I've seen a lot of things happen. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen people healed of every manner of disease. I've seen a couple of people that were dead come back to life. I've seen that. I've seen blind eyes open. But ladies and gentlemen, the contention of my faith says that I'm going to see things that I've never seen. As the devil comes down like a flood in his great wrath, knowing that his time is short, God is going to rise up an army, and it's going to be an army of people that are full of faith, people that know how to pray. Do you know how to have warfare? Do you know how to pray until the devil flees? Do you know how to pray until the devil turns his hands loose and runs from you? Do you know how to pray until angels come to help you? Do you know how to pray until the power of God falls? Do you know how to pray until miracles manifest? I believe that you do. There are some people here of violent faith. I've watched people in this building. Some of you have been here 5, 10, 20, 30 years. And some of you had every reason to turn your back and quit. You've had family members quit. You've had friends quit. You've had adversity. You've had trial. But there you are. You're still here this morning in this great month of January 2020. It tells me that you've got violent faith. Faith that will not stop. Faith that will not be quenched. Faith that cannot be defeated. You've got faith that will overcome every adversary. You've got faith that will black every demon's eye. You've got faith that will take everything that comes against you and turn it into something positive. You've got violent faith. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we come together with our violent faith and decree that San Antonio is not going to hell, but praise God, we're going to have a revival that's going to save our families and our friends and our co-workers. That's something wonderful that's going to happen like we've never seen in the history of this church or this city. Will you give God some praise right now? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And the third man of great violent faith in the second chapter, second book of Samuel chapter 23, was a man by the name of Shammah. And the Bible said he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And again, the Bible said, and the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord did all of that. and you can just whine all you want to and say, well, there's not enough people standing with me. It doesn't matter, friend. If you've got violent faith, you can change the orbit. You can change the direction. You can restructure the things that are around you. God is not waiting on the numbers. He's talking about you. He defended the ground, and he said, I am not giving up any ground. And the Bible said, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Are there any people here today that have violent faith and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to quit worshiping God. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit standing on the Word of God. I'm not going to quit believing. I believe the God that was is the God that is. I believe what God has done, He will do even greater in my lifetime. I've got violent faith. Watch out for me. I'm going to move up a few pews. I'm going to be shouting just a little louder, clapping just a little longer, praising God just a little more, reading my Bible a little more sincerely, and believing and confessing that God is a God of miracles. How many people believe that God is a God of miracles? He'll make something out of nothing. He'll turn the evil to good. He'll work a miracle in your body. He'll work a miracle at your bank. He'll work a miracle on your job. He'll work a miracle at your family reunion. He's a God of miracles, and He's in this house right now. Can somebody give God praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And finally, the Bible said that David looked around, and he saw the army that had abandoned him. And he saw these three mighty men of faith. And he said, I just wish that I had a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem. And praise God, these three violent men, that's all they needed. They didn't need a commandment. They just needed a suggestion. Friend, when you get violent faith, God will not have to command you. Just a suggestion, and you'll be off to the races. And when they heard that, the Bible said these three men, they fought through the very trenches and the very army of the Philistines. And they fought all the way to Bethlehem for one purpose, and that was to get David a drink of water. And they brought that drink of water back to David, and David looked at it, and he was so moved. He said, I see what happens when three men join forces and make up their mind. He said, I can't drink it. It's too precious. I'll pour it out for a sacrifice to Almighty God. The point is this. Bethlehem, the water from the well of Bethlehem, represents the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at a place where the church has become a motivational house. It's just positive thinking and a lot of good things that are great, but that does not compare with the true ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus stood up and read from that place and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bind up the broken heart, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at deliverance the captive, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody here that's going to fight? You're going to fight hell. You're going to fight religion. You're going to fight compromise. You're going to fight the time. You're going to fight modernism. Why? Because I'm contending for one thing, and that is the water from the well of Bethlehem, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have nothing else but Jesus. He's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can deliver. He is the only one that can fill. He is the only one that can defeat Satan. And so above all, we lift up Jesus Christ in this building. He is our Alpha. There's nobody like Him. He is our beginning. He is our Omega. He is our ending. Praise God. He is our Savior. And He's in this house. And you said, I brought one of my co-workers to church, and he was offended because it was too loud and too wild, and it scared him. I'm not concerned about that. I brought Jesus with me, and he was offended because he said it wasn't violent enough. It wasn't dead enough. He said, I've been through this before. He said, when they began to cast down their clothes and worship me, the religious people said, oh, Jesus, talk to your followers. But he said, my followers are violent people. I can't control them. Their love makes them say, nothing's too good for Jesus. I'll give him my voice. I'll give him my praise. I will contend for that faith. I must have the ministry of Jesus. I will break through the very troops of the Philistines to make sure that we have the water from the well of Bethlehem. It's only the water that Jesus gives that can satisfy. If you read the Bible, it is a book full of people that were filled with violent faith. There were those people that could not get to Jesus with their friend. And when they saw that there was no way at the door, there was no window, the Bible said those four men took their friend up on the rooftop and they tore the roof off. And there were people that were very concerned. I can't believe that he would allow property damage. I can't believe that he would allow them to trespass. I can't believe that they would tear up somebody else's property. I'm so shocked. I'm so offended. Let me tell you, if you don't love Jesus, everything about church is offensive. When we pass the offering plate, you're offensive. When we sing, you're offended. When somebody stands, you're offended. When somebody weeps, you're offended. When somebody shouts, you're offended. But if you are a real, true follower of Jesus, you say, look at the people up on the rooftop. Why didn't I think of that? That's a great idea. Let's go to the rooftop and tear the roof off. We need people at Living Way Church. This is not a normal church. You used to go to a normal church. This is not a normal church. This is a bunch of people that are violent. These are people that will not take no for an answer. These are people that contend for the faith. We are not normal. It's going to get wild. It's going to get emotional. Somebody's going to cry. Somebody's going to shout. Somebody's going to stand. Somebody's going to clap. Somebody's going to run. Somebody's going to squeal. Somebody's going to spin. Why? Because we are people of violent faith, and we will not be denied. Somebody's going to tear the roof off. When we come together and we're denied access and we can't come normally and find what we need, we will ascend to the rooftop. And the Bible said it this way, the tiling was tore off. It must have been that tiling you have now, the Mexican tiling they put on these red roofs. That's what it was. It was some kind of tiling like that. And they begin to tear it off. And Jesus is inside. And the Bible teaches us he did not rebuke them, but he stopped what he was doing. And he recognized there's somebody with violent faith. Jesus Christ always prefers and gives preference to those people that have violent faith. He's just teaching about the Beatitudes. He's saying, blessed are they. And suddenly said, there's plaster in my hair. What's going on? Somebody's on the rooftop. Is there anybody in this building today that says, I will not leave until I'm saved? I will not leave until I'm delivered. I will not leave until I'm healed. I will not leave until I'm blessed. I will not leave until my life is changed. I've got violent faith. I believe that God is. And I believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible uses words like diligence. The Bible uses words like fervent prayer. God wants us to be on fire. Fervent means fire. Diligent means wild. Praise God. I will not give up. I'm going to become something. I'm going to be a record breaker in praise. We get excited about a man that scores more points on a basketball court than anybody else has. We get excited when a new quarterback comes in and throws more touchdowns in one game than anybody else has ever done. Oh, they're record breakers. What about somebody in this house becoming a record breaker for God, praising God with such intensity that the service has to shut down, the singing has to quit, the preacher has to stop? Because they are breaking all records. Their violent faith says, I won't be denied. I won't be denied. I won't be denied. I'm not taking this cancer home. I'm leaving my cancer at the altar. I'm leaving my sin at the altar. Could you stand on your feet and give praise to God? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God. I'm not going to be a critical old man. I'm not going to be a depressed old man. I'm not going to be a defeated old man. I'm not going to be a used-to-be old man. I'm going to be a violent faith old man. I'm going to be a Caleb, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. It's always amazing when we exceed our limitation. What do you mean? When a boy kills Goliath, it's a big deal. Should have been an old general. The miracle of God is exacerbated by the limitation of the servant. It shouldn't have been David. It should have been one of those tried generals. But it was a bigger miracle because it was David. It shouldn't have been a little boy with a sack of McDonald's. It should have been a chef that had prepared great banquets, but it's just a little boy with a few fishes and loaves. That's what made the miracle big. Oh, God uses people of the less and least likelihood to do his biggest thing. You say, not me, I don't have a PhD. Not me, I've only been in the church for 3 months. Not me, I'm too young. Not me, I'm too old. Not me, I just can't speak. I can't get the words out. I just stutter when I get up front. Friend, none of that matters. God chose Moses, and Moses was a stutterer. It doesn't matter. God's just looking for people of violent faith. He said, if your faith becomes violent and you contend for the faith, he said, I will use you not because of you, but in spite of you. And when people see that you're the miracle worker, they're going to have to say, oh my, it must have been the hand of the Lord. Him, her, yes, him, her. God's waiting to do something great, but he's just looking for somebody to contend for the faith that says, I won't stop, I won't quit, I won't give up. It's going to happen. I demand it so, like that woman that went every day and knocked on that judge's door. I won't stop until my enemy is avenged. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. That's the reason why we come Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. Said, I didn't sow so-and-so here Wednesday. Oh, they don't come anymore on Wednesdays. They gave up. But praise God, I'm still coming. Oh, hallelujah. I don't see so-and-so. They don't seem like they're involved. They always come and kind of set toward the back. They're sliding away. They're giving up. But not me, praise God. I'm contending for the faith. It's happened, but it hadn't happened as big as it's going to. It's happened, but it hadn't happened as often as it should. It's happened, but it hadn't happened the dimension that God said it's going to. It's happening. It's happening. It's going to get bigger and better. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be miracles that are astounding. There's going to be shocking things happen. My faith says, yea and amen. God is God all by himself, and he is able. He's able. He's able. He's able to heal you right now. He's able to take that cancer out of your body right now. He's able to take that leukemia out of your bloodstream right now. I said contend. Contend for the faith. Get violent with your faith. Said nobody's stopping me. I'll praise God as long as I want to and as loud as I want to. You might throw me in the prayer room somewhere, but it won't stop my praise. I got my praise on. I'm going to praise until heaven comes down. I'm going to praise until my little granddaughter's saved. I'm going to praise until my little grandson is healed. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to contend for the faith. I am violent in my faith. You're in this room today. The devil has decided you're going to go to hell. If you listen to him, you will. But you can say, no, no. There's no way I'm going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. You're here today and you seem like, well, I'm just not very strong. That's because you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be strong. You'll shock yourself. Brother Percy, you're not what God wants you to be until you're amazed at your own self. You look in the mirror and say, my, 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 my. This ain't the baby my mama had. What's happened to me? I'm amazed. That's what happened to me. And you realize it's not you. It's not your education. It wasn't your school teacher. It wasn't all those elements. It is that the power of the living God has come into your life. And suddenly you're filled with God's strength and God's power and God's glory and God's miracle. If you're in this building and you're not saved, you ought to run to this altar.